This evening's talk is about forgiveness. This is a difficult subject because it affects every one of us to some degree or other, and it's not easy to do. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is letting go of a wrong against us, of our anger, of our need for revenge, of our negative thoughts, letting go of bitterness, resentment, maybe hatred. If God can forgive us as repentant sinners, then we need to forgive others. And they don't have to apologize first. I'll come to that later. Now, why is it we refuse to forgive? Is it our own stubborn pride that gets in the way? Are we controlling those who hurt us by punishing them? Are we trying to manipulate others through unforgiveness? You've probably heard it said, somebody will say, "I'll never forgive them for that." I used to go on short retreats at Prinish Abbey a few years ago. I once met another visitor who was also there for a few days' retreat. It turned out that he'd been travelling from one monastery to another for many months, relying on the Benedictine principle of hospitality to strangers. And he travelled all over the country and some parts of Europe. Now, sometime before, many months back, he had suffered what we would call an industrial injury at work when he worked for one of the railway companies. He could no longer work at that kind of job anymore. They paid compensation, they paid for his considerable medical treatment, but they would not apologize, they would not admit liability. And this had made him angry, it had burdened him ever since it happened. It just went over and over in his mind, and he couldn't let it go. Now, he had a faith, that's why he was on retreats, but he was getting nowhere with it. He shared his story with me over a couple of days, and I prayed as I listened. And on day three, he said to me, just out of the blue, "It isn't right, is it? All this travelling from one place of refuge to another." I paused a moment and quietly said, "No." We discussed a few scriptures on forgiveness, and then he agreed to pray. I led him through a prayer of forgiveness, and he was able to release the burden of the past. I could almost see the weight lifting off his mind as he released it all to the Lord. The next day, he seemed a whole lot better and said he was going back home, up north somewhere, and off he went. He seemed to be walking taller as he went. What does the Bible say? We get a few examples from Psalm 103. "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." From Colossians 3:13, Paul wrote, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you." From Matthew 18, that Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 70 times, but 77 times. Matthew 5:7, Jesus spoke about forgiveness in terms of mercy. "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Mark 3:29, Jesus said, "Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin." Mark 11:25-26, Jesus said, "When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." And there are others in Luke 6:27 about love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Luke 6:36, be merciful as your Father is merciful, and so on. Now, what happens to us if we don't forgive? There are spiritual consequences. Jesus said in Matthew 6, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins."
So there are eternal consequences for our immortal souls if we don't forgive. Some of the other effects there are in the healing ministry, they call them bondages. They can be spiritual, emotional, physical bondages. For example, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on a Sabbath, and there's this woman there who was crippled by a spirit, the Bible says, crippled by a spirit for 18 years, and she was bent over and couldn't straighten up. And Jesus called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Put his hands on her, and she straightened up. Now, after 18 years, you know, this must have been, wow, quite amazing. And the synagogue ruler, up on his high horse, of course, he said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." But Jesus said to him, "You hypocrites, don't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey and lead it out to water? Then shouldn't this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 years, be set free on the Sabbath from what has bound her?" So there are spiritual bondages that cause physical problems in our health. Another aspect is a foothold for evil spirits. You know, unforgiveness is a sin. When there's a sin that continues like that or is traumatic enough, that can be a foothold for evil spirits to come and start affecting us, infesting us, if you like. If you remember in Mark 2, when Jesus healed a paralyzed man, he said, the other one lying on the ground, he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven. Take up your mat and go home." And he did. Forgiveness of sin released him from being crippled, his paralysis. Mental burdens. Ask any Christian healing center and they'll tell you about the connection between mental problems, mental health, and sin, unforgiveness, and so on. Unforgiveness causes a lot of stress, a lot of health problems. On one of the TFM missions on the South Coast, I met an elderly blind woman in church. Lovely lady, but her husband wasn't a Christian, and he was in a wheelchair. And she invited us two of us to go around and meet him, so we went to their home. And he was unable to walk, and he was full of anger because his wife had had an affair 20 years ago. Long time, 20 years ago. And she had repented, apologized, asked for forgiveness, but stubbornly he had refused to let it go and was always giving her a very hard time. And it was a real concern to the church. And he'd been making her life a misery for years. So we listened to him, we talked to him about forgiveness and God and our own responsibility for forgiving, because God deals with the injustices, it's not down to us. And eventually we led him to a prayer of commitment, and he gave his life to Christ, and we chatted a bit more and left. Unfortunately, it didn't last. The next day, it had gone, and he gave her hell again. Maybe it's one of my conversions, not the Lord's, I don't know. Maybe it's just deeply rooted and he needs to let go of it. We sowed some seeds, but I am convinced that his anger, his unforgiveness had put him in that wheelchair. Think back to Mark 2. I read a true story about a Christian minister who wrote this. "When I was first ordained a priest, I believed that over 50% of all problems were at least in part due to unforgiveness." That much. All right. "After 10 years in ministry, I revised my estimate and maintained 75 to 80% of all health, marital, family, and financial problems came from unforgiveness. Now, after more than 20 years in ministry, I have concluded that over 90% of all these problems are rooted in unforgiveness. 90%. Of all health, marital, family, and financial problems come from unforgiveness. Now, in case you're not sure about this, a little research on the internet backs it up. I found about 4,000 research articles. It's a separate category in Google on research articles on forgiveness and health problems. And they reported on the physical, mental, emotional problems caused by unforgiveness. Now, this graph is the number of papers published each year. So back in 2001, there were only about 100. And then by 2005, it's 260 a year. And you come to 2011, it's nearly 500 papers issued last year researching this very subject. Look at the growth of interest that the researchers are looking into, the connection between unforgiveness and health problems. Funny that, it's been in the Bible for about 2,000 years. And I maintain that science can only discover what God has put in place. Isn't that right? They can only discover what God has put in place. And they keep hammering away, "I've got to find the answer, I've got to find the answer." Excuse me? Got one of these? You know? Creation, let there be light, Big Bang, it's all there. Biggest blaze of light ever. Father, please speak to us. Speak to our hearts. Through your precious sacrifice, through your blood, we are forgiven and we are grateful, Lord. Amen. What they do is up to God, it's up to them. And then we repent to God, ask him to forgive us. And as we know, the Bible says if we ask God to forgive us, based on our faith in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, God promises to forgive us. Is that right? Yep. So Psalm 103 we had earlier, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions, our sins from us. We're separated from our sins. Isaiah 1 says, though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. So they're red as crimson, they'll be as white as wool. They'll be washed clean. Now, Jesus even asked his Father to forgive those who were nailing him to the cross. And if God can forgive that, worst of sins in my eyes, then can't he forgive us? If we repent, of course he will. Isaiah 43, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. I choose to forget them. So if we keep raking it up, you know, if God's forgiven us, it's washed away, the slate is wiped clean, but we keep raking it up. Oh, Lord, sorry about that. And he says, excuse me, what sin? It's dealt with. It's gone. We don't need to keep revisiting it. You know, how can we not forgive ourselves if there's nothing left to forgive from God's point of view? Do we know better than God? No, of course not. It's dealt with. So take a deep breath. Thank Father for his forgiveness. Tell him you now forgive yourself. You might have to struggle, but tell him you forgive yourself. Ask him to help you by all means. But keep hammering away at it until it's gone. Once it's gone, it's dead. We don't dig it up. We don't keep revisiting it. That just gives Satan a foothold. He loves stirring it up. We need to move on. It's gone. Finished. And if old Nick has a go and whispers in your ear, flick him off your shoulder. You know the armor of God prayer. I've told you a few times. Lena, do you have a little testimony for us? Get close enough to the mic.
How much harder it is for me if I feel mocked and scorned by somebody else. A sort of accidental wrong thing is easier for me to let go of than the mockery and the scorn, because that sort of attacks who I am on the inside. And it's... I've learnt to think, well, I meant well when I did that. I really, really meant well. And so now, funnily enough, the scorn doesn't happen so much because I suppose I'm different. I don't know. But do you agree that when people scorn you and really goad you, that's hardest of all to forgive because they've hurt you more deeply? And so that's where the biggest hurdle always has been for me.
Thank you. I'm going to be quick because we're running out of time, I think. The testimony is about myself. Now, it's not about forgiving someone else that I've got here. It's about actually myself, yeah, seeing that God can forgive me. Because I took it quite difficult. I mean, it was very, very difficult for me when I couldn't find a job. I graduated, but I couldn't find a job. And I started growing with that hatred towards the fact that how can God allow me not to have a job? And then subsequently, my wife fell ill. So those things were like so many things, you know, on my life that were heavy going. And when my wife passed on, right, I then became very resentful. Yeah? So you can see where I'm coming from. I became very resentful against God. The very one that I loved in the first instance, the very one I believed very strongly about, right? And my life went bad, and I mean bad. So I'm not going to go into the depth of that. What is important here is the experience. They say experience is a good teacher, right? But I think unless you learn from it, it's no good experiencing as far as I'm concerned, okay? I learned from it. Firstly, Lena talked about the prodigal son, and that's what actually hit me. I said, actually, you know, in the Bible it tells me that no matter how much I've resented God so much, I can go back and ask for forgiveness and be back on the right track. That's my short testimony, and I'm telling you there is a lot more involved in here, because obviously what I'd done was something that I couldn't believe God could actually bring back into his fold. But I'm here now with you, and I'm very pleased because I think God does forgive. Seriously, okay? Amen. Praise God.
Praise God indeed. Praise God indeed. Okay. You may have heard of Corrie ten Boom, a Christian woman who survived a Nazi concentration camp during the Holocaust. And she said, forgiveness is to set a prisoner free and to realize the prisoner was you. Forgiveness sets a prisoner free and the prisoner is you. Well, I've heard other stories of, you know, English prisoners of war in Japan who've met up again and said they forgive them. And it's brought great rejoicing on both sides that that's been mended. Okay, we're nearly there. You've got a little short story about from the American Civil War, David.
I'm a grandfather myself, but I remember a time when my grandmother shared with me about what happened to certain of her relatives. She had a cousin and an uncle in the American Civil War. That war started on the 12th of April, 1861, and it finished on the 26th of April, 1865. You might be amazed that there were 4 million combatants. 4 million combatants. What were the outcome of that war? There were two main outcomes. There were other outcomes, but there were two main outcomes. One, slavery was abolished, and two, the Union was preserved. There you are, a bit of useful history. But part of the history of the war, there was a wonderful story came out of this, and it concerned a nurse, and she was attending the men who had been injured on the front line in the north. She was from the north. That was her area. But a terrible incident happened in which she, amongst others, were captured. She was a captured, you know, here she was, a nurse, captured by this group from the south. She was badly abused by some of the southern soldiers. But eventually, she was released. Eventually, the war finished, of course. And she was at a meeting, and she was giving a talk on things that had happened during the war. People were very interested in her, and so on and so forth. And a man challenged her from down below, sort of thing, you know, there she was, and he said to her, I suppose you still hold a grudge for what they did to you. I suppose you still hold a grudge to what they did to you. Those wicked men, she replied, and this is a classical answer, she replied, I distinctly remember forgiving them. Those men, I distinctly remember forgiving them and forgetting the whole episode and forgetting the whole episode. Friends, Satan will come back to you when something has happened, something bad has happened in your life, and Satan will come back if you allow him back. If you allow him back, he'll stir it up, and he'll stir it up for you. Like he'll stir it up for me, like he'll stir it up for, you know, every one of us, if we allow it. She lived out the Lord's commands. Matthew 6 and 12 says, "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And 14 and 15 of that same chapter says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive them their trespasses, neither will your Father," capital F, "forgive you your trespasses." Jeremiah 31 and 34, and I'm sure you will know this. I'm just going to give you the part that I feel.
Use the microphone.
My apologies. My apologies. Sorry. "For I will forgive their iniquities and their sin. I will remember no more." So when Satan reminds you of things that have happened to you that are negative, that are you know, evil things, awful things, then you say to the you say, "Satan, Jesus has covered that. The blood of Jesus Christ covers that. So on your way. He's forgiven. I'm forgiven." And there we are. So thank you, Lord, for that.
Sometimes it's hard to forgive, isn't it? But if you think about how much God has forgiven us, all that stuff along the way, over the years, throughout our lives, God's forgiven that. And forgiveness is not something we do for other people, we do it for ourselves so we can get well and move on. Forgiveness is for the one that was hurt more than the one that did the hurting. You know, someone really upset you 20 years ago in a car accident. And they may not even have known it had happened, driven away, they may no longer be alive. But if it still binds us up, we're the ones who are hurting, not the other person. So our hearts can never heal properly until we forgive them and let go of it. So let's come to a time of prayer. Forgiving somebody is an act of will. It's not to do with our feelings. Our feelings may feel really terrible about it, but we need to decide to forgive. We may need to struggle with God over it, and, "Lord, I don't want to do this, but please, I forgive them as far as I can. Please help me to forgive." And you may have to come back to it again a bit later on and keep hammering away at it until it's gone. So let's pray about this. Holy Spirit, please come. In the name of Jesus, come, Holy Spirit. Please touch our hearts and bring to mind those things that you want us to deal with right now. Lord, unlock those doors. And bring to the surface those things you want us to deal with by forgiveness tonight. And just remember, those other people weren't born that way. They couldn't help the way they turned out. It's inherited stuff, the way they were brought up. We're all broken people. Every single one of us is broken. And we need to lean on Jesus while he puts us back together. Some people don't have Jesus, which is worse for them. So, Father, we give that person to you. If you just imagine that person walking beside you down through a church towards the altar, and there's Jesus waiting for you both. And you walk up, you're standing in front of Jesus with this other person. And you take that person's hand and put it into the hand of Jesus. And you say, Lord Jesus, I forgive this person. I forgive them and give them into your hands. I'm sorry for holding this against them for all this time. I forgive. I choose to forgive. Help me to forgive as deeply as they have hurt me. I don't know that I can do it right now, Lord, but please help me to do that and mean it. It is my decision, my act of will. I forgive. I let go. And Lord, please wash away the hurt of that event. Maybe many events over the years. I release them from me and give them into your hands, Lord Jesus. You will deal with what needs dealing with. But I choose to set myself free in your sight. And Holy Spirit, please come and wash me clean. Each one of us. Help us to release those resentments, our own negative attitudes. And for my part, I say sorry for anything I've done to upset that other person, Lord. Lord, please set me free. Wash away any trace of that sin of unforgiveness. Take away any foothold. And Holy Spirit, please wash away any footholds here tonight in any of your servants in this room. Holy Spirit, by your gentle but mighty power, wash away the sin, deal with that foothold, and cast out any of those spirits that have been lurking around and trying to make things worse and stir up trouble. 90% of problems, the root is unforgiveness. What a finding. So Lord, please deal with that unforgiveness now, tonight, in this building. Everybody who's here, we give it all to you, Lord. Please wash us clean by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done in sending your Son, how it must have hurt you to send your own Son out into the firing line. I know I couldn't do it, Lord. But you did, knowing what would happen. That must have hurt you so much. But thank you. And thank you, Jesus, for going through it. And even at the end, through the agony of those nails, you said, Father, forgive. And so we choose to forgive. Let there be a mending of relationships, a wholeness in this church that only you can bring, Father. For one day we will all be together with you in heaven. So let's begin now and get it right now. We praise you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Amen.